back to this edition of the Hagmann Report. If you did not catch our one, Peter Barry-Chalka was on, and of course, just to recap that very briefly, you know, when President Trump retweets an article from Peter Barry-Chalka, written or featured on the Hagmann Report, it is big news, I have to say. And kudos to Mr. Chalka and his tenacious research and reporting. A lot of good stuff there. And we thank him. We thank him. You're listening to this program. Here's what I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to follow him on Twitter, because the more followers he gets, the better coverage we have, and of course that's the key. So do that.
Now, quick announcement here.
Okay.
Don't forget, we had Paul McGuire on last week.
He has his
prayer meeting tomorrow, and I'm going to give out the information. It is at 7 p.m. at the Garland Hotel. I'm sorry, this Friday, not Thursday. Friday. 7 p.m. the Garland Hotel this Friday. It's at 4222 Vineland Ave, North Hollywood, California. And this is, again, for the Paradise Mountain Church Paul McGuire prayer meeting that is going to be held on Friday at 7 p.m. Go to paulmcguire.us for more information on that. It's free to register. You have to register on his website, so make sure you do that if you're going to attend.
And tell him when you're there. Tell him that you heard that on the Hagmann Report, if in fact you did, because it's hey, I'll tell you what. If I lived within 3-4 hours drive, 5 hours drive, I would attend. Because they're that good. And I don't know. Just paulmcguire.us. Is there registration involved?
You have to go on paulmcguire.us and register.
All right. And his new book, Conquering the Matrix, is fabulous as well. Speaking of fabulous, when's the last time you had a great steak? When's the last time you had a steak that it was aged for 21 days? Oh, my goodness. Can you just taste the succulent flavor of a great steak? No more grocery store steaks. OmahaSteaks.com. OmahaSteaks.com. They have got a fantastic family gift pack right now. As a matter of fact, it makes the perfect business gift. We have given them out to special people that we have business relationships with, and they have just raved about the quality of the items. And in fact, when we got our package, I couldn't believe, number one, how everything just exudes quality. From the way it's packed to the way the items are boxed and labeled to the way it's delivered, it's a pleasant experience. And I'll tell you something else. If my neighbor likes it, you can guarantee it's a good deal. So if you're struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who has it all, go no further. Go to omahasteaks.com and make sure you put in the search bar HH. Now, let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how, for only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter our code HH in the search bar. It's 75% off. And, you know, don't stop there, because Omaha Steaks, they have over 500 gourmet gift ideas. They've got the most flavorful tender aged beef. Plus, they've got seafood, pork, poultry, veal, lamb, veggies, desserts, appetizers, pasta, soups, everything. It's an amazing shopping experience. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving to our listeners an exclusive savings. And again, just to our listeners, listen to everything that you will get for less than $50. Two filet mignons. Oh, they are so delicious. Two top sirloins. Four chicken breasts. Some of the best chicken I've ever tasted. Two boneless pork chops. Four burgers, which are fabulous. They're just, man, I'll tell you, I'm getting hungry right now. Four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, the Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, and four kielbasa sausages. Plus, you'll get four additional kielbasa sausages free. All you need to do is go to omahasteaks.com, enter HH in the search bar to get the 75% savings. It's just that simple, and it's the gift guaranteed to be a hit. That's omahasteaks.com. HH in the search bar, 75% off. All of that for under $50. You can't beat it. Hey, with the holidays coming up, you can do your shopping right there. And it's a gift of, it's a gift of love as far as I'm concerned. And if you don't know who to give it to, hey, I'll give you my address.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway.
We have with us Matthew Valentinus. He's an entertainment lawyer, a film producer, and is the executive producer of a Hollywood expose film, An Open Secret.
Man.
This is a very interesting film. It details the sexual exploitation of minors in Hollywood. Matthew, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Thanks for having me. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear, as a matter of fact.
All right, great.
Now, you're an entertainment lawyer, a literary manager, film producer. You obviously, I'm telling you this, right? I'm telling the audience this, but you've held various creative and business administrative positions in the entertainment industry. So you know the, in, by the way, on both coasts, so you know the entertainment industry pretty well. And, of course, you created this film. And you were on InfoWars not too long ago. I think it was, what, a week ago? Week and a half ago?
That was my partner, Gabe Hoffman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. The Open Secret film was featured on InfoWars, nonetheless. So tell us about this project. Tell us about An Open Secret. We're going to give you the floor because this is one of the most, I don't even know how to describe it except to say it's important information that you've got. It's got to get out to the people. The people have got to understand what is going on in Hollywood. I think they've gotten a taste of it. You've been proven, not that you needed validation, but certainly An Open Secret has been validated, your research, your investigation, and your final work product. So just start wherever you want, and let's walk through this.
Let's start here. What made you get into this project?
Yeah.
Well, what made me get into it is Gabe Hoffman and I, we went to NYU together, and, you know, we've stayed in touch ever since. And one day we were just talking about doing a documentary on boxing because, you know, I'm in the film industry, and Gabe's done very well on Wall Street, so he was thinking about investing in a film. And then he came back and he said, you know what, I'd rather try and do something good, and I'd like to do something that deals with the sexual abuse of women or children. So that was around 2011 we started talking about it. And then in 2012 I came up with the idea of really focusing it on Hollywood, for several reasons, because A, I'd lived out there and I'd heard a lot of rumors, and B, we knew we could shoot most of it there, and C, Hollywood is very international, so it would have some commercial appeal. We wanted to reach a market beyond just the documentary film market. And we could really shoot, and D, which never happened, and maybe it's hopefully starting to happen now, is we thought that the Hollywood community would get behind this once we really exposed what was going on. So with all of that together, our final goal was to, you know, really make a critically acclaimed, very well-documented, factual film exposing what's going on in the industry, that would actually be profitable enough that 100% of all profits from this film, if we ever make any, are going to a foundation that we were creating. So our whole goal was really to make this film to raise awareness, and then to use the film to set up a foundation that would be there to help victims of sexual abuse in Hollywood, which is, as we've seen the last couple of weeks, is a lot of people. So that's really where the idea started, and what got it going was Corey Feldman talking again. I had always heard the rumors that Corey had mentioned, but when he started coming out again in 2011 and 2012 about the pedophilia in Hollywood, we reached out to him because one of his main fears was always that he needed protection, and one thing that we had was a lot of money, the best lawyers, the best insurance, and we had no fear. So once we reached out to Corey, his manager, he seemed interested, and then once he was interested, Gabe and I decided we needed to find the right production company, which is why we went out and I found Amy Berg and Disarming Films, because Amy had done a film on the Catholic Church scandal that came out in 2006 called Deliver Us from Evil, for which she was Oscar nominated. And she kind of helped bring that issue to the forefront, very similar issue. So I figured she'd be great for this because she knows how to do investigative reporting, she knows how to talk to pedophiles, and she knows how to make a great documentary, and she's already established in the industry. Everybody knows her. So we had the money, we had the Oscar-nominated director, we had the lawyers, and then we went out and we did the research, we hired private investigators, we brought on investigative reporters, and we really did about 6 months of research before we even decided to move forward with the film. And once the research came back with just a mountain of evidence that there was enough there, we proceeded to start shooting the film, you know, late 2012, early 2013.
That's a fascinating story. Matthew, I want to ask you this. So you said from all the research you compiled, it was obviously overwhelming. You had plenty of information to do this story. In Hollywood, there's this culture that obviously is part of Hollywood, that this sexual exploitation has been going on for a long time, well before even this generation and the exposure that we've seen recently. What is it about Hollywood where I can understand where you have abusers protecting other abusers, but why is the whole atmosphere of seeming to protect these allegations, these exploitations, and the people who commit them?
Well, that was another reason why we chose Hollywood, just because it's more exaggerated, right? I think that the people that go there are more susceptible to this, and the pedophiles that flock there are hungrier and even more evil than your average pedophile. So really we chose Hollywood by no means to bring Hollywood down. I love Hollywood. It's just that Hollywood is a greater example on a larger scale of how this happens everywhere. I mean, let's be clear. This happens everywhere, in every town, from Hollywood all the way down to Alabama. So it's not that it doesn't happen everywhere else, but in Hollywood, I think it just attracts more people to it from both sides of it, in terms of it attracts more pedophiles, and then it also attracts people who are more susceptible to the pedophiles because of the industry. And if you look at the entertainment industry, it's really one of the few industries where children are actually allowed to work with adults. I mean, you're even allowed to have a baby on the set. So how frequently do we have that really in any other industry?
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I never really gave that a thought. I never thought of that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what we found is that this is really highly organized. This isn't a case of a couple random pedophiles, operating on their own. This is systemic. And yes, obviously this has been going on. I mean, there was always rumors about Bob Hope and then, going back to Charlie Chaplin. So it's not like this is a new thing in Hollywood, but I actually think it's worse because Hollywood's gotten bigger. There's more people in it. It's become more international. The entertainment industry is more around the world. And the people that are doing this, I think, are more powerful, and it's become more tolerated. And it's so big and so wide that most male actors will tell you. I mean, I've had some male actors say that they think it's up to 100% of them. It's even worse with males, I believe. I'm not trying to discredit what's going on with women, but I think, with women maybe it's 75 or 85%. With men it might be 90 or 100%. It's that bad.
Those numbers are okay. I'm tongue-tied with those numbers. All right.
Well, Matthew, let me ask you this. You might have some better insight on why the Harvey Weinstein. This is kind of we had during the election cycle last year. The pizza pedo-gate stuff that came out. And then we saw, Harvey Weinstein stuff come out this year, where out of nowhere, a man who has been obviously having this behavior for decades that has been well documented, and all of a sudden we hear stories that were written years ago that never came out, but now we had this a few people come out, we had the media jump on board and really get behind exposing Harvey Weinstein. What changed? I guess. Why did they decide to come out?
If I can just jump in here too, Joe, you make a good point. I have a feeling that your efforts were contributed to that. Or am I wrong?
I would like to think so. We were clearly threatened and intimidated. I mean, our film debuted in 2014. The Screen Actors Guild, tried to censor our film because we outed one of their young performer committee members who was a longtime manager in the industry for 30 or 40 years. We basically had him confess to trying to be inappropriate with one of his child actors in the film. And we did that interview at Screen Actors Guild headquarters with their own PR people. And then David White, who's the executive director of the Screen Actors Guild, sent us threatening letters and told us we had to cut out, you know, any reference to the Screen Actors Guild and any reference that, you know, that they were involved in this. Now, I'm not saying that the Screen Actors Guild was purposely trying to cover up a pedophile. I'm just trying to say instead of them trying to help us and alert the industry to this problem, they were more concerned about protecting themselves. And that's sort of what we've seen this entire time in the industry. And if you saw Good Morning America today, you saw Terry Crews, a large man, a former football player, afraid of coming out about what happened to him because the head agent at William Morris Endeavor, the top one or two agencies in the country, allegedly walked up to Terry and grabbed his genitals and was sticking his tongue out at him and making licking gestures in public.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is not normal behavior. That's how powerful these people think they are. That's what they can do. And that's why people, if Terry is afraid, imagine how a 12-year-old kid feels or a young actress who's just coming up. So that's what we're talking about. And there's so many victims that we had been sitting on this for about 2 years because no distributor really wanted to step up to the plate and put this out. And we knew eventually it had to come out. And I was at the Independent Television Festival up in Vermont when the Harvey Weinstein news broke. And we knew something like that was going to happen. And when it finally did, I called up Gabe and I said, hey, we have to throw this up on Vimeo for free because women are finally starting to come out. And we've got to support them and we've got to get this tidal wave going. And once survivors start speaking, it's not going to stop because we know this isn't going to stop for months. This is going to go on for months and months. And it's going to get a lot worse, I think, before it gets any better.
No, I have to agree with you, especially when we're looking at what you're talking about, the whole culture that is around Hollywood and the amount of, both male and female people who have been abused or have been the abusers is so high. I don't think we have seen, we have really scratched the surface yet. And in your film, you name names. Do you want to get into that on the air, on to some of the things that your investigations have broke?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And anything in our film I'm happy to talk about because it's all factually been cleared and it's 100%, you know, it's all true. So
what was the, if we can ask you this, to the extent you want to, however you want to do this, what was the most egregious or perhaps the most surprising name, individual, person or circumstance that your film addresses, for example, that you could tell us about, surprising to you perhaps?
Well, I think for your listeners, for me, it was, none of it was really surprising to me, to be quite honest. But to the average person, I guess the person who we were most surprised by was Bryan Singer. He's the, you know, director and producer of the X-Men series. He's produced two or three of them. He's currently producing a film called Bohemian Rhapsody in London right now. Now, he's never been convicted of anything, and I'm not saying he's a pedophile. I'm just saying he's very good friends with at least two convicted pedophiles that we know about. And he's also friends with a guy named Gary Goddard, who on Friday, Anthony Edwards, who's famous from Top Gun and ER, and is on a Law & Order Menendez Brothers show right now, you know, a very well-known actor, came out and said Gary Goddard molested him, which Gary Goddard has denied. But in our film, one of our survivors had also said that Gary Goddard had molested him. So, you know, Anthony Edwards, and what Anthony Edwards said was him seeing our film and reading about those cases 3 or 4 years ago triggered him. And this happened to him when he was 12, and he's 52 now. So 40 years later, he's coming out with his experiences based on our film. And I think, you know, a lot of other people know about this film and have seen it. We're up to 6 or 7 million views online, and people are talking about it, and everyone in the industry is aware about it. I have, you know, all my friends at work at different studios are texting me and calling me all the time, asking me what the next name to drop is. Everyone's worried about certain films that are in production going down. You're seeing shows being canceled. You're seeing whole staffs of writers coming out against executive producers because of sexual harassment. I mean, you just saw Louis C.K.'s career just go down the toilet, and he was considered the greatest comic in the industry with several shows on the air. You just saw Kevin Spacey, two-time Oscar winner, career likely over. He is very good friends with Bryan Singer, right? Bryan Singer put him in Usual Suspects and put him in Superman. And in our film, we have Bryan, you know, I'd like your listeners to watch the film on Vimeo and watch, if they only want to watch 3 minutes, watch the 48-minute to the 50 and a half minute. And in that, Bryan Singer is doing the DVD commentary for the first X-Men. And he's doing it with Brian Peck, his friend, who he gave a small role in that film as a hot dog vendor. And they're talking about the scene, and in the scene, they also gave a small cameo to Stan Lee, the creator of X-Men. And then they also, in the back of the scene, they gave a cameo to Gary Goddard, another good friend of Bryan Singer. So here, on the DVD of one of the most profitable franchises for Fox Studios, you have at least one convicted sex offender in the DVD commentary talking about it. You have another one who's accused of it in Gary Goddard. And then there's been a lot of allegations about Bryan Singer. But yet he's still directing a great movie in London as we speak for Fox Studios, and nothing's being done about it. If he's ever had settlements with anybody, because you'll notice with a lot of these women, so they had settlements. You'll notice with Harvey Weinstein, his company was built around settlements. Even into their corporate structure, I think they had basically assigned money to be paid out without firing him for settlements. They had basically said, okay, we suspect that Harvey's going to sexually assault so many people, so we're going to set aside this much money for a settlement. Now, I haven't exactly seen those documents, but that's reported. So what I'm telling you is that the industry cares more about money than it does about any human being. And where I think that this is going to change is I think they're going to start losing so much money, and they're going to be sued so badly, and the people are going to stop being so afraid to come forward with their stories, that the corporations are going to have to change things. I mean, you just saw, you know, head of Amazon Films, Roy Price, lose his job, right? So Amazon acted quickly. I'm sure Netflix is sitting there wondering, what are we going to do? We just had to cancel House of Cards. We just had to cancel Louis C.K. that we were going to do a good comedy show for. I've been trying to get Netflix to put this film up. I can't even get them to call me back, you know? And this is a drop in the bucket for Netflix. They're spending $6 billion a year on development. They could buy this for, you know, a couple million dollars, and all the profits go to charity and help victims of sexual abuse in the industry and raise awareness. And everyone that is wants to see it is telling us, Matt, get this up on Netflix, get this up on Amazon. And I'm like, we would love to if they could call us back, but they don't.
Yeah, it's amazing how these companies will not. I mean, it seems like they're all in bed together, from the executives to the producers,
literally
to the publishing houses, to the production companies, and it is, you know, one big I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back kind of thing. And they've been able to keep it hush hush for so long. And we're about a minute away from the break, Matthew, but I wanted to get into this a little bit, something you mentioned about the settlements. Do you think that this is standard operating procedure for these entertainment companies, where they have, as you said, the money set aside for settlements like this, that it wasn't just to Harvey Weinstein, but across the board? And how much of these settlements do you think are keeping people from talking?
I think a lot of them. I think, and we're talking settlements that can be in the 3 to 5 million range, some even higher, right?
Okay.
So, and what I think is going to happen is that law enforcement is going to have to look into these settlements, because I believe that you really can't have a settlement if it involves illegal activity. And I think that a lot of these people are afraid of coming forward because, A, they spent the money, or they don't want to have to give it back.
Yeah, that's a good point. More on the other side.
Our guest is Matthew Valentinez. He is a entertainment lawyer, film producer, and the executive producer of a film you can watch for free, An Open Secret. We'll have more on that on the other side. Stay tuned. We're right up against the break. Wednesday edition of the Hagman Report. Our guest is Matthew Valentinez. He's an executive producer of a Hollywood expose film titled An Open Secret, and he is with us until the end of the hour. Matthew, before the break, we were talking about how illegal activity is not covered in these settlements, and that much of Hollywood operates, you know, with these non-disclosure agreements, with these types of settlements that swear you to secrecy. In your film, do you find that, have you come across anybody who has agreed to these terms of silence and then come back out on the other side to expose who their attackers were?
That's a problem. Most of the people that have signed these haven't actually come out. Like, for instance, we've spoken to staff at different places, or people that worked at these places that had to sign them. A lot of times it could be a cleaner or a driver or a bodyguard. They've all seen things, and they got to continue to work in the industry. And they, you know, once you cross that line of going over the non-disclosure, no one else is going to hire you. So they haven't come out. We know that there are other victims out there who have signed things, and that's why we've been sitting on this, because, you know, it's just a matter of time. It could be 6 months or 6 years or 10 years from now, but somebody's going to come out with some major settlements that are all, it's going to validate everything we've been saying. I mean, we've been validated over the last several weeks. You know, Anthony Edwards coming out on Friday was a big validation for us. But this, we've got these understandings of settlements that we feel that we're very confident are out there that will come forward. And we've even had people reach out to us who've signed these settlements, who are looking into talking to lawyers and are looking for help and maybe coming out with them. But that's another thing that we have to talk about here, is that these guys are so smart that they know who to pick. It's all in their grooming. So these people have been mentally abused. They've been physically abused. Their careers have been controlled. A lot of times they're put on drugs, and they get addicted to drugs. And they're so afraid that they, you know, you or I might say, hey, it's easy, just call a lawyer, go down to the police station and let them come out with it. But they can't. They're physically stuck, and we can't, it's not our right to out these people. We can only steer them in the direction of going to a lawyer or going to the police and really taking that, and that's what this film is about. You know, our motto is be courageous, report it, life gets better. And that's why, like, Terry Crews, I think today, coming out and talking about, him being sexually assaulted was great because it really demonstrated some leadership. And there's some really big stars out there on the male side of things. Like, for instance, Tobey Maguire and Leonard DiCaprio, some of the biggest stars. I mean, Leonard DiCaprio probably is the biggest star in the industry today. I'm not saying he was ever sexually molested. I have no idea if he was. But I do know for a short period of time, he had a publicist named Bob Villard, who is a convicted pedophile, who's been known to be operating as a pedophile in the industry by LAPD since the 80s. I think he's gone to jail once or twice. Last time he was in was 2005. So there's a picture of Tobey Maguire and Leonard DiCaprio. They look about 11 or 12 in our film that I believe was taken by Bob Villard when he was their publicist. So they've been around this guy. We know other famous actors who have been managed by some of these pedophiles, and I don't want to out who these actors are, but if they weren't molested, they know people who were. And it's just going to take one or two of them to come out and say, hey, my friend was, you know what, this happened to my friend, and I'm going to speak up for him. And in the groups that are successful, for every Leonard DiCaprio, there's maybe seven or eight other kids that were coming up with him at the time, and let's say, you know, three or four of them might be dead now from drug abuse or suicide, because that's normally what happens. You know, a lot of these kids don't make it past their 30s because they just can't deal with it. And also, we think there's an even darker side to this. We think sometimes that there's been murder to silence people, in the sense that maybe someone's been given a hot dose of heroin and it looks like a drug overdose because maybe that person was ready to come out and talk, right? And I think that's going to have to be something to look back upon. One name to look on is Brad Renfro. He was the star of Apt Pupil, which Bryan Singer directed, and during that film shoot, several young boys brought claims against Bryan Singer that they were forced to be in a shower scene that was inappropriate, and you know, no legal findings were found. But you know, after that film, Brad Renfro's career, he was slated to be the next star, slowly started to go down, and you just have to wonder, did anything happen to him on that set that drove him to this? Because a lot of people like to blame the drug abuse, but the drug abuse comes after the sexual abuse. It's not the drug abuse that's killing these people. It's the sexual abuse. And then they all go to alcohol or drugs. It's normal. So when you see a lot of these child stars from Nickelodeon or Disney shows all of a sudden hit a certain, you know, a couple years later, they just go off. They just go bizarre. They start, you know, shaving their head or running around the streets of New York crazy or twittering crazy stuff, or their parents have to put them in insane asylum for a while. You gotta wonder, is that because of sexual abuse? And the more and more you look at it, you say, possibly, very well, maybe, you know?
Okay. And speaking of Twitter, an open secret on Twitter, an open secret, folks, follow on Twitter, please. We need to get the word out. Matthew, during the break, you talked about two separate things, and two separate issues. One are the connections. The other was the mafia-like approach, for lack of a better descriptive quality. Can we hit on the latter first? Because we've heard about this. Many people think, oh, this is just a fairy tale. For example, being brought into a club, so to speak, like the, you know, being a maid, becoming a maid person, a little bit like the mafia, but with a twist. Can you get into that, please?
Yes. What we've had people tell us who are sort of on the fringes of these groups, and who've been appalled by it and are finally coming forward, we put them in touch with reporters right now, stories are being written, is that, you know, at some of these parties, it'll be like a normal Hollywood party. There'll be a lot of drugs. There'll be a lot of casual sex. But then there comes a point where they'll go into a room and they'll say, okay, are you going to participate? And basically what they're saying is, are you going to participate in an act of pedophilia? Are you going to participate in raping this young child with us? And then once you do that, you're in, right? So in the mafia, they say, you know, you got to make your bones, you got to kill somebody, whatever they say in the mob movies, right? You have to kill someone to really become a made man. And I think in this that these people are actively participating together in raping young children together. So by committing that act, nobody is going to rat on each other because, you know, after murder, it might even be a worse crime than murder, that's how they keep you silent because you're just as guilty as they are now. So that's why I think a lot of this is still staying silent, because there are people that have done that operate in these crews. And what we're trying to say is that this is a hierarchy, and this is an organized criminal conspiracy. And it starts with, you know, talent scouts, and then it works its way up into, you know, casting agents and talent agents, and then their managers, and then it goes up to directors and producers, and in some instances, it's executive producers and even, you know, high level people at networks and studios. And they sort of pass these kids around, you know, and they groom these kids slowly over a period of time, and the more willing the kids are, the faster sometimes their career seem to go. Like, for instance, in our film, we show how in the first X-Men, directed by Bryan Singer, there's a small scene for the character Pyro, P-Y-R-O, and it's played by a kid named Alex Burton, who was, you know, a teenager at the time. Now, he was at all these parties that we talk about in our film. That, you know, we call them the DEN parties, because that stands for the Digital Entertainment Network. And that was like a precursor to Netflix. This is the late 90s, early 2000s. And basically what they were trying to do is shoot online television shows. And they raised, you know, $150 million, $200 million. And they employed a lot of people. They were shooting a lot of terrible movies that, you know, the internet really wasn't built at the time for anyone to see them. But what we're trying to say is we really think that was more of a front for a pedophile ring to actually just attract young boys and to have parties at these mansions with these young boys. And really the way you bought your way into the club was you invested in this company, and then you would get to meet a lot of young boys. And what we show in our film is one of our young victims, Nick S., he was being severely raped during one of these series that was being shot by the Digital Entertainment Network. And the director of that series was Randall Kleiser. Excuse me. And Randall Kleiser is the director of Grease, and he also directed Blue Lagoon and The Last Navigator. So he was a very established, successful director. And in our we didn't even know Randall Kleiser was really in the film or in our trailer, and I think we barely knew who the guy was. But he was in our trailer, so when he saw the trailer, he had this big lawyer named Michael Donaldson in L.A. call us up and threaten us and tell us that we had to take our trailer down immediately, which had already been disseminated around the world, that we had to edit out his client, Randall Kleiser, who was in it for like 2 seconds, because somehow we were associating his client, Randall Kleiser, with pedophiles. Meanwhile, his client, Randall Kleiser, didn't even know that the 14-year-old star of his film was being raped by the producer of the movie. And what's really interesting about Mr. Randall Kleiser is that film was shot around 1999-2000. Now, in 2005, Mr. Kleiser hired a guy named Brian Peck, the same Brian Peck who was in the X-Men DVD commentary with Bryan Singer back in 2000 or 2001, except now Randall Kleiser was directing an Amanda Bynes movie. I think it's called like Shipwrecked in Love. It's like a 2005 movie starring Amanda Bynes, directed by Randall Kleiser. And in it is Brian Peck, who at this time was a registered sex offender. So you know, maybe Mr. Kleiser can tell us that he didn't know that he was working with sex offenders when he was at DEN. but he definitely knew, or he should have known, that he had another registered sex offender on his set 5 years later.
Yeah.
But he still had the gall to call us up and tell us to take him out of his film. And he had the gall to hire, you know, the self-righteous big-time L.A. attorney calling us up, threatening us. And I would like that attorney to maybe look into his own client and look into his own conscience and think about what he did to us, trying to threaten us.
No, you're absolutely right, Matthew. And from the notes I have here, this DEN, the Digital Entertainment Network, the founder of that network, if I'm reading this right, Mark Collins Rector, is also
correct,
a registered sex offender.
Right. And he founded that network with a guy, you know, a young boy at the time named Chad Shackley. I think Mark was in his late 20s or early 30s, and he started dating Chad at 15. They met in Michigan. And then he was able to talk Chad's parents into letting him move out to Hollywood with him, and they were basically dating or a couple. And then a third young boy slash man was introduced to Chad and Mark, and his name is Brock Pierce. He was a star of Disney's, or, you know, one of the child stars in the Disney Mighty Ducks series. It was, you know, the hockey series built around the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. And they brought in Brock when he was around 18. And what's interesting is Brock was introduced to Mark Collins Rector by Brian Singer. So, and Brock today is one of the leading advocates for Bitcoin currency, and is a multimillionaire, I believe, and on several boards of different Bitcoin organizations, which is dealing in, you know, the digital currency. And you know, we don't know really where Mark Collins Rector is today. He was given permission to, he came back, he fled to Spain. He was jailed in Spain. He came back to America. He was jailed in Florida, did his time. When he got out, he asked the judge if he could go to London for brain surgery, and the judge said yes. Then when he was in London, I think he's in like in his 40s at this time, he tried to marry an 18-year-old boy. And then the last we were able to do is we were able to track him down to Belgium. And, you know, we've had people tell us that he's getting money through either digital currency or selling, you know, weird online terrorists operate. We don't know how this guy is surviving. Who's giving him money? Is he being paid to be quiet? Who's afraid of him coming out with more information? Because if you look at the DEN investors list, it's pretty much a who's who of Hollywood. Other people that invested DEN include David Geffen of, you know, DreamWorks fame, and probably one of the biggest music managers in the industry. He invested in DEN. Another guy named Michael Huffington, you know, the former husband of Ariana Huffington, invested a lot of money in DEN. And, you know, if you look at that SEC filing of who invested in DEN, you might be very surprised.
Probably.
Yeah. So, you know, and even Brian Peck, if you look at Brian Peck, the Daily Mail did a nice piece on him. There's a connection. I mean, he's a constant thread through all of these guys. That Brian Peck, as recently as I believe 2013, worked on anger management, because I believe that he's friends with Charlie Sheen. So I'd like Charlie Sheen, somebody to ask Charlie Sheen if he was the reason why Brian Peck got the job on anger management, because at the time, Charlie Sheen was the highest paid actor in television. Number one. And this guy, Brian Peck, got a job as a dialogue coach on the show, and he claims to be friends with Charlie Sheen as a known registered sex offender. And what's interesting about Charlie Sheen is that Charlie Sheen hires the same attorney as Brian Singer and as Bill Cosby. And that attorney is Marty Singer. So what I'd love people to ask Marty Singer is, hey, Marty, are there settlements out there? Have any of your clients signed any of these settlements? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they haven't, but maybe they have, and maybe that's something the press could find out. Maybe that's something the police could find out.
I don't mean to interrupt, but wasn't there just some news come out about Charlie Sheen just like within the last 10 days or so?
Yeah, Charlie Sheen was accused, and he denied it, and we have no evidence of this.
Okay.
But he was accused of raping Corey Haim, I believe,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But we do know that one of the rapists of Corey Haim was a man named Martin Weiss, and he's in our film also. He also raped one of the victims in our film, a young boy named Evan. So there's that connection, right? That here's this pedophile who's a talent agent in the industry, a manager of child talent, who had raped a young Corey Haim, who knows when, in the 80s or 90s, and now he was continuing to rape boys in the early 2000s, you know, up until, you know, 2009 or whenever he got arrested. So it's all connected. They all know each other. They all operate in the same circles. It's like a country club. And there's higher levels. I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of different power. And sometimes you have to wonder, how are some of these lower level guys able to afford all these legal bills? Or maybe some of these guys are taking the fall for other people. And this is very big, and it's organized, and it's scary, and it needs to be handled, and people need to keep coming forward, and what's gonna happen is people are gonna come forward with their settlements, and the truth can't be contained forever.
No, you're absolutely right. We are talking with Matthew Valentinus, the executive producer of the film An Open Secret. We only have about 5 minutes left, Matthew. I want to make sure I ask you this. Do you think we will see a more overwhelming response to these sexual allegations, people coming out from child stars to men or women? And what, if we see that, what will it do to Hollywood?
I think it's going to, yes, I do. I think there's a lot of lawyers that are busy right now, probably bringing cases. I think, you know, the police are finally actively investigating things. I think just today there was a case brought against Harvey Weinstein that is more of like a class action type of suit. It's more like an organized white collar crime than it is just a one-on-one type of crime. So there's going to be a lot of scrutiny and a lot of corporate responsibility. I think people are going to look at Disney and they're going to say, what did you know about Miramax when you bought Miramax? I think a lot of different boards are going to start to be held accountable. That's where this is going to get really scary. I think, like, for instance, is Fox Films going to continue to have Bryan Singer as their director, even if Bryan Singer has never done anything in his life? Do they still want to be associated with a guy who's known to hang out with so many pedophiles, right? I mean, how is that for a film?
Wow.
We just think that, you know, time is on our side. The longer they try to cover it, they can't cover it up anymore. So it's just a question of when it comes out and how quickly it comes out. And it's a question of who's going to step up and do the right thing and really take the first hit. It's kind of like, who's going to flip first? Who's going to rip off that Band-Aid? And I think the companies that deal with this on a major level and fire a lot of different people, they're the ones that are going to survive, and the ones that cover this up aren't. And that's a lot of the conversations that are happening, I believe, right now in Hollywood.
If I can ask this, are you all right, you and your co-executive producer? Are you two all right? You got to be taking some incoming flack here, duck or bleed kind of scenario.
There's been some trolls, but look, you know, I mean, legally we're protected, and that's all I'm really, you know, concerned about. Everything we've done has been cleared by some of the best attorneys in the business. Everything we're putting out there is factual. And we're on the right side of history, and we're on the right, I mean,
sure.
this is, we're on the right side of moral, so no, I wouldn't say we're afraid. I wouldn't even say we're nervous at this point. we're just disappointed, and we're looking forward to people coming out and supporting us.
How can people best do that? Obviously, we have a lot of people, believe it or not. Well, our producer of the show is from Hollywood, knows a lot of Hollywood people. But how can people best support you, your film, and your efforts in the larger sense?
Well, I think it's like tweet at them and say, hey, put this film on there. Because if they buy this film, they can get it out there to 40, 50 million people, and all the profits are going to charity. So why not, right? I mean, Gabe runs a hedge fund. I run a small law office. We're just trying to keep this going to hand it off to a company to take it on, right? But we also want to make sure it gets to the right company that's going to be able to do it right. And we want it to go to a company that, you know, is going to take some social responsibility. And our job, we're not trying to bring down the industry. We're trying to help out the industry. We're trying to make the industry better. And that's what the industry needs to realize, is they got to start taking steps to rather than cut the liability and to protect themselves. They have to realize that by facing this problem head on, that's the best way they're going to save this industry. If they want to save the industry, they need to step up and do the right thing. If they want to continue doing their old practices, they're all going
to
sink.
Well, it's great to know that there are people out there that are trying to expose the exploitation, the abuse that is ongoing in Hollywood. And Matthew, we thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to spend with us to talk about the film An Open Secret. And the folks out there, everybody, go and check out this film, especially knowing that the proceeds are going to help charity. Why not? If you can, definitely do it. And Matthew, we look forward to talking with you in the future, and we hope somebody picks up this film and produces it, and it becomes an actual kind of like documentary of these times that we live in, where all
and gentlemen, can I just tell people where to find it?
If yes, you don't mind? Sure, please.
You know, we have about 30,000 followers on our Facebook page right now, so that's probably the best place to go. It's An Open Secret Doc on Facebook, so follow us there. On Twitter, of course, we're at An Open Secret. And we also have a YouTube channel where we're posting a lot of the news, a lot of clips from the film, you know, our Twitter feed. We're constantly keeping people updated. We're getting a lot of tips. So our YouTube channel is An Open Secret on YouTube. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook. We only have like 3,000 Twitter followers, but the more that the industry sees that people are following us and supporting us and use the hashtag An Open Secret, the more people do that, the better chance we have of proving to the industry that there is a demand and an audience for this. And we think the audience for this is at least 50 million.
You have our commitment that we will continue to promote that. We will continue to back you. We'll direct people to the appropriate social networking sites. Sir, you are a true patriot and American hero. Thank you so very much for your time tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
God bless you, and God protect you as well. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Wow. Folks, you know, for all of you out there, all of the people who emailed us saying this doesn't happen, or you're hyping fear, you're promoting fear, you just heard the real deal. We're going to be right back after this network break with a much-needed dose of spiritual encouragement from Pastor David Langford.